Welcome to the DDT Archives. I'm your host, Chris. With me today in the Indie Lounge, she is just one of the guys. She is one half of the Sea Stars. She has the best wrestling TikTok ever. Delmi XO, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. So we're going to dive in, and we're going to go in and out of wrestling talk and real life talk. But something that fascinates me about your career is the opportunity that you get to work with your sister. As a brother, like, I can't imagine how much fun that would be.
It's a lot of fun to travel with Ashley and her being my travel partner and my tag partner. We get to be, when we have match announcements, we're kind of always like next to each other. So we're like, oh my God, like we're wrestling so-and-so, or oh my God, we have to do this, or we get to do this. Like, we get to share the excitement or the disappointment all the time.
That's awesome. Now, my brother was an independent wrestler for a little while, and I hated watching him get beat up. Like, I know what it is. Like, but how does it feel, like, for both of you, I guess, watching each other, like, go and perform?
I think there are some times where, like, we kind of, like, hold our breath, like, watching certain stunts, I guess you would call. I had to watch Ashley's, I think it was the Last Man Standing match with Chris Statt live. And everyone, like, in the crowd's enjoying it. But me, as a sister, because we have to tag the next night, I'm like, okay, that's safe. Okay, she's alive. Okay, now she's bleeding. Great. And her, the same thing. Like, if she sees me do something, she'll always be like, are you okay? Are you okay? And, like, if it looks like it got wonky, I had a hand injury 2 years ago, maybe, and she knew immediately that I was hurt, and she was just like calming me down, like on the outside. She was like, you're fine, like breathe. We had like half of the match to get through.
One of the other things that I saw on your resume, and I think people kind of have a different appreciation for CZW, and people assume it's one thing, but the performers there can straight up go in the ring, whether it's deathmatch style or traditional wrestling. Can you talk about your experiences there?
I had a good experience at CZW and like through WSU a little bit. I wasn't there for very long, but they did let me have a huge spotlight, which was great. I had come from Chikara, so my Chikara experience, I felt like I didn't really get to learn much athletically or in-ring style. It was more, I grabbed a lot more production-wise, like how a show needs to work overall. And I feel like that was a great knowledge to learn, but I didn't get better in-ring. So when I went to CZW, it was all just like longer matches than I was used to, or like you did so much more in a 5 minute duration than you would back home in like Western Mass, where it's like, oh, work a hold and all this. So it helped me pick up speed a lot quicker. And I started off doing Dojo Wars because I saw Maria Manic was always doing them. And I was obsessed with her because she was changing her look and like her style. And that was something that I was in the process of doing. I wasn't always one of the boys. I used to try to be like an alien character, and then I dropped that, and then I was just like just a wrestler. And so I was really trying to like come up with like a mold for me so I can like use that as a character. And so I feel like that helped me a lot. I got to be in the best of the best tournament, and I ended up making it to the finals for like their triple threat matches. And that was crazy. It was my debut at CZW, and they, like, let me be into the second round. So I think my wrestling definitely improved. I got to be in the ring with, like, Pat Buck. I got to challenge for the Medal of Valor. Like, really good opportunities. And I even won the WSU tag belts with Casey Catal.
That's the piece that fascinates me, is I have found that the wrestling community is so small. Casey and I have become very good friends just from podcasting with her, and then I go to all the Synergy shows now because they're fairly local, and Colin's been very good to me with the podcast. And it's just fascinating to see how you all intertwine with one another.
Yeah.
Talk about your experience tagging with Casey.
So, funny thing is, I forget who messaged me, but someone within WSU had messaged me, and they were like, oh, like, we want to know what you want to do. Like, what kind of storyline do you want to build around yourself? So I had this idea to start tagging with Casey because she is, like, she has such a good personality in the ring, and I feel like she's a really good, like, talker. Like, she, like, has good promos. So I was like, if I'm going to do a storyline with someone, like, I want someone who, like, knows how to do good promos. And I was thinking of doing a storyline, which it didn't get to play out because of the pandemic and, like, me going to Japan. So I had to, like, drop the title. It was just going to be something along the lines where, like, we were friends. She was, like, the popular loudmouth girl, and I was, like, the chill, calm person who just wanted to, like, wrestle and, like, win vigilantly. And so, like, we did build some good promos together. Like, we had a lot of fun doing those. We would do them in, like, two takes, and we'd be like, ah, look at us, chemistry. Our tag matches were complicated because we had to tell that story in the ring. It wasn't just, like, a basic tag match where I'm either a bad guy or a good guy with Ashley. Like, it was, like, a complex idea. But we got them done, and I think if we had more time, if I didn't have to leave the country or, like, any of that happened, or the pandemic, it would have played out, and I think fans would have liked it eventually.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the two of you are extremely talented. You know, I watched her get hit with a bat the other day. That was kind of fun.
When she's crazy.
She is. Her and Brandon are hilarious. She actually, so when I saw her, I gave her a podcast t-shirt, and she comes over and she gives me one of her t-shirts, and she goes, I'm giving you a large. I know you need motivation to keep going. And I'm like, I might fit into a large ever, even if I keep going, but thank you. My wife thought it was hilarious. That she gave me one for Greg, and we put it right on top of the baby bag of all the guests for the baby. Now, in this t-shirt, she's, of course, half undressed, and we knew exactly how.
Oh, yeah.
And we knew exactly how Greg's wife was going to react. So my wife's like, nah, this is going right up top, so it's the first thing she sees. And we got exactly the reaction we wanted. It was hilarious. Oh, no. So, yeah, so the wrestling community is such a small world and so much fun. Just from podcasting, getting to meet all of you guys, everybody's so friendly and wants to take time. Just. Talk about
It's the people who do podcasts are friendly.
We try. I'm definitely more outgoing in a podcast than I am in real life. People take that really weird. Like, they don't understand. Like, I won't. If I go to a show, I'm not going to walk up to people and just be like, hey, what's up? Like, I don't want to bother anybody. And they're like, no, come say hello, you idiot. And I'm like, I'll work on that. So you were talking about Japan, and I know you were over in Marvelous, and again, even further connections with my friend Masha. You know,
yeah.
Talk about Marvelous, because it's such a cool deal over there.
So Marvelous is great. I had tried out twice for them. The second time was when I was able to get brought in. I love their regime. So they have 9 girls living in a house, and they train every day, twice a day almost. Unless you have to go and, like, discuss a match, you're basically at training. And so I just think all the girls work super hard. They're all super talented for how young they are in the business, and it's, like, a great program that they have. I mean, it's not a program, but, like, the structure of how they bring in girls and, like, mold them into be like these super wrestlers is incredible, and they all have their own personalities. All the girls are super talented, like, music wise they can all sing, they can all play an instrument. Like, if they don't become wrestlers, they have, like, their life set. Another thing that's, like, cool about it is, like, Chigusa helps them with, like, getting bookings, and, like, they get paid through that. But then they also get paid, like, they work at this restaurant that Chigusa owns, and it's like a karaoke bar as well. So they can work there if, like, they're injured, they're still able to make money. It's not like they're ever stuck or, like, in a bad situation.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't even know that part. That is really good.
That's, like, something that, like, you wouldn't even think of. But, like, I don't know why I didn't think of it. But going to Japan, I knew, like, oh, if you're a wrestler there, like, that's your job. Like, that's it. You're not in school for anything else. Like, you are dedicated full-time to it. But, like, the fact that they have, like, an option or another way to make money is, like, that's good for them, like.
Without a doubt. And I'm sure it while having the experience of living in the dojo, I'm sure money still gets real tight real quick over there if you're not working.
Yeah, like, you want to buy, like, a bus ticket or something just to, like, live your life.
Exactly. And talk about the dogs. Because I know they have, like, millions.
Yeah. So I hated small dogs before I went to Japan. Like, I have two pit bulls. So I was always like, oh, yeah, big dogs. Like, you want a dog that can catch a ball and, like, you know, defend you. So when I got there, I was, like, kind of put off by the dogs. Because they were all, like, little yappy dogs. And I was just like, ugh, like, my dog could tear you to shreds. Why are you disrespecting me? But then, like, after a while, I just, like, fell in love with them because they just, like, attack you in, like, affection. Like, if you don't pay attention to them, they're going to make you love them. So now I'm, like, obsessed with Frenchies. And I keep telling my boyfriend, I'm like, can we get a Frenchie? Like, please, please, please. And he's like, absolutely not. We're getting a Rottweiler or some big dog.
I have an English bulldog, and I will tell you that I love my dog to death. He is my best buddy. But bulldogs as a whole, whether it be French or English, are pains in the asses. Like, he's got that curly Q tail. Like, I'm ready to have a kid because I have to wipe my dog's ass. Like, it's ridiculous. But it's just reality. So they're a lot of work, but they're so much fun. They're so well. I wish my yard was bigger so I could have pit bulls. So I wound up with a bulldog instead. That's my guy. So 2020 has been very different. How have you managed to kind of keep your composure about you and your wits about you with everything that's gone on?
So I didn't anticipate, like, the pandemic lasting this long. I think a lot of us were like, oh, like, once summer hits, like, things will go back to normal. And now summer's over and there's still a pandemic. And I think, like, unfortunately, I feel like we're just going to have to, like, work around it. I don't know if you saw that it got announced, but I remember the last time we did the podcast. I don't know, if, like, for continuity purposes, like, where my podcast is going to fall with the legit Sea Dogs.
We're going to put that one out first, I think.
Okay. So, it got announced that Shimmer is going to be hosting the show over for the collection. So we're going to be a part of that show. And I know there's, like, a lot of, like, people, like, showing backlash towards that, but the show's going to be run as safe as possible, and no one's going to be, like, at least, like, we're not going to be partying after, and we're going to be staying within our group. So I think we just have to work around it. Like, you can't expect someone to not do their craft. We're just going to have to find a way to do it without the level that we did it before the pandemic, where it was, like, touching hands for your entrance or, like, hugging everyone to say hi. It's, like, all those, like, small things that, like, we took for granted back then are gone. So, I don't know. It's kind of sad. I watched SmackDown, like, SummerSlam when they did the screens. Yep. And I was, like, crying. I was like, oh, my God. Like, what happened to the world?
The one nice thing about being where I am in New York, I've been able to go to a couple of shows in Jersey. Synergies continue to run. And while the audiences are smaller, you could just tell how happy they are to be there. I saw the backlash with the Shimmer stuff, and I don't get it. As long as people are being safe and being cautious, there's no reason to completely, like, overly shut down your life. You got to continue to do some things. you know, now, yeah. You know, obviously it becomes challenging when you're traveling and then have to quarantine when you come back, kind of stuff like that. But is wrestling considered an essential worker? I think it is.
I would say, like, unfortunately, like, a lot of wrestlers didn't have, like, a security net before this. Like, they wrestled because that's what they did. And you could say, like, oh, that's so shitty. Like, why don't you get a job? It's really hard to have a job that understands you need to take the weekends off to travel, or your flight gets stuck and now you can't make your morning shift on Monday. Like, that's happened to me a few times. I still had to roll into work looking like a dirt ball and just, like, roll with the punches. But I was fortunate enough where, like, I had been at a job for a year before, like, wrestling picked up for me where I was flying all the time. Wrestlers don't have that, like, benefit of, you know, having hold at a job where it's like, oh no, I'm like the manager, so I can take certain days off. And so I'm not going to shit on someone who's like going to wrestle to make a living during the pandemic or pushing merch because they have to pay the bills. Like,
absolutely. That's why we try to make sure that we support and push merch also, as I know you just saw that I threw out there before.
I forgot to retweet it.
No, you retweeted it. You were the first one. I was very proud of you.
Do you see how that happens? Like, I don't.
So it's always funny because, like, obviously with Twitter, it's so hard to book female talent because people don't want to open up their secret messages because people are creepy. And so I always wonder, like, if I tweet at somebody and they're not following me, are they actually going to see it because of the different sex?
Yeah, there's some that, like, sneak through. I notice because I have, like, Team C-Stars account and then I have my account, like, sometimes I'll lose, like, who tagged me in something. I'll see something about C-Stars and I'm, like, assuming they tagged C-Stars, but they tagged me. So then I have to go to C-Stars and, like, find it so I can share it. It's a headache. But it's, like, I try to do all the social media stuff for Team C-Stars because Ashley works, like, longer. So I try to take over it. Just because I know she won't. I don't want, like, people to get, like, offended if we don't respond or, like, don't see something. Because I would get offended if I tweeted at someone and, like, they just never talked back to me.
Nah, it is what it is. I've learned to understand why messages sit in purgatory sometimes. I think it's sad that it has to be that way. But I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
Davey spoke to me yesterday about how you guys keep her on social media. The only time she tweets is when she's with the rest of you guys. You know, how have you tried to rub off on her?
Well, I think Davey taught us a lot and she gave us a lot in the beginning of our careers. So we just kind of have that bond where it's like natural for us to interact. And so we talk every day, like, through text messaging and, like, sending videos and, like, sending memes and all that. So whenever she comes over, we try to make, like, a bunch of TikToks that we can later on release little by little now. Like, that's going to be our system. It's like, all right, film Davey as much as possible so she has content for the week. I, like, forced her to take pictures with Ashley the other day on the ring light, which she then broke her phone trying to fit into the ring light clip. So that was a bad idea.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. I told her I was going to be very nice because I was scared she would do to me what she did to her own cell phone. She laughed, yeah. But I don't think she found it funny.
This is a crowbar. Yeah. That's her nickname because of how stiff she is. We call her Crowbar.
That's awesome. You know, kind of build off, how important is social media to keep your brand out there right now?
I think because there's, like, so little wrestling, you kind of need it to, like, have people talk about you. And you just kind of need to use it for fun. Like, I know a lot of people constantly, like, want to have, like, something, like, a hot take about something all the time where they're, like, that's their social media. They're constantly, like, firing back. But I think just, you know, like, just show your personality, like, just be, like, fun and energetic and, like, goofy. Don't take yourself too serious all the time. No one wants to, like, follow someone just because they're wrestling. Sometimes you can connect with someone. Like the other day, someone messaged me and they're like, did you get your last name EXO from this K-pop band? And I was like, yeah. And then I had like a conversation with them about K-pop, and like, they were like, I'm so glad like someone in wrestling likes K-pop. And that's like a small thing. Like if you shared something small about yourself, someone else can like relate to you, and then you can build a relationship for that off of something so small. And like maybe later on in the line when shows come back again, they'll buy a ticket because they want to meet you or they want to see you wrestle.
Absolutely. And they should. They should definitely buy a ticket to see you wrestle, without a
doubt. Unless you're like bad.
unless you're a scumbag. Yes, if you're a scumbag, remember, you have to DM Greg, not any female talent. That's our running joke. We're trying to get Greg as many inappropriate text messages. This way they're deflected from female talent. Because while he is very shy, he has this New York demeanor that he would just shred whoever did it, but in a public forum, so it'll be hilarious. And I can't wait for someone to actually do it. It will be quite amusing. Your TikToks, which I think I told you, I find them to be absolutely hilarious. How do you come up with the concepts?
I think we hold on to like a sound for a while, and then we'll just kind of play around with it. Davey's usually really good at coming up with what we should do for like what it should be related to. So we give her a lot of credit for them. But normally we just like kind of brainstorm together. We all have the same humor, so we kind of know where things are going or like what direction they should go in. And right now we're trying to relate a lot of things to wrestling because we've gotten a lot of response from like the wrestling community on TikTok, and they're like starting to catch on to us there. And I don't think they knew who we were before that. So we're just trying to like find that like niche to kind of thread the two communities together.
To me, it's hilarious watching it. The one where you were answering questions with I don't know, I was dying laughing. Absolutely dying. I'm like, that's gotta be real. Somewhere deep in that, that's that real. Is real. You know, I'm still waiting for the Scott Steiner math one. When you do the Scott Steiner math one, I will pop.
After this, send me which one, and I'll do it.
Awesome. I'm holding you to that. Without a doubt, I will find that somewhere. Your interests outside of wrestling, and you made me work for this. You didn't answer my message about
it. I was thinking.
So, comics. How important were they to you growing up and even getting through the pandemic?
So, I've been watching Batman and like anything DC related since I was little. My mom was obsessed with the movies, so we watched those. My favorite Batman one was Batman and Robin, which I know sucks now, but when I was little, that was my like movie. That was my favorite movie, and coincidentally it's my boyfriend's favorite movie too. When he was little, we were like both like, oh god, that was so bad. But it was so colorful. So I loved it. I loved Batman the Animated Series. I loved Teen Titans, Static Shock. Those were all like cartoons I grew up watching, but I never had comics. Like I never owned them. I grew up pretty like middle class, so it's not like my parents were like going out of their way to buy me comics. And I had no idea where to get them. When I started going to like high school and like I would go to the mall and hang out, I saw like where all the comics were, like at Newbury Comics, and they were so expensive. Like in my little child mind, I was like, I can never afford this. I'll never be able to read. So I used to like Google small scripts of comics, and like I would look up like storylines, and I never got to experience them. Nowadays it's so easy. Like there's like apps that you can download comics on, like 99 cents. You can get a comic and download it straight to your phone. And I'm like, wow, like kids have it so easy. So now that I have like money, like during the pandemic, I like organized all of mine and I was like, all right, what am I missing? And so I like started buying all the holes, and then I would read them, and then my boyfriend would read them. And then we were like go back and forth, like, oh, what do you think's happening? Like, what do you think's going on? I'm collecting the New 52, like, Batman storyline first, because those are, like, easy to find online. And then I'm probably going to go back. I have a bunch of ones from, like, 89, but they have so many holes in them. Like, I, like, bulk bought them off eBay. So now I have to go and find those. And I'm in the process of moving, but I'm going to organize, like, a bookshelf, and it's going to be awesome.
That is awesome. I never got into the actual comics themselves, just not... I mean, from the time I was 5 or 6, I was playing sports 3 seasons and just never got into it. But at one point, like, I was probably 13 or 14, Marvel cards became the biggest thing on the face of the planet. And you would look for the hologram cards and collect all the cards. So, like, everybody has their superheroes. And my buddies are all like, oh, Captain America. And then there's me, who's just totally stupid. I'm like... nah, dude, Union Jack's the man. And they're like, are you stupid? I'm like, what do you mean, am I stupid? And they're like, that's Captain America, but for Great Britain. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I am kind of stupid. You know, just trying to be different, and I picked the one guy that has to represent another country.
You're like, Red Star's good. You're like the people who like Boba Fett.
No, I do not like Boba Fett. Although I will admit, I haven't watched those movies in forever. I loved them as a kid. I don't think I would like them now. So therefore, I don't want to watch them.
You don't want to ruin, like, the childhood.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like you with your Batman and Robin. Like, if you watch it now, you're like, Jesus, that sucks. Like, to me, like... when I have kids, I don't want to be like, I don't like Star Wars, because I'm an adult and I just happen to not really enjoy sci-fi. But as a little kid, I thought it was the coolest thing on earth. So if I stay there and leave it there, I'm good. Like, I won't be against watching it with my kid, and that would be different.
Yeah.
But they're also, those movies are so long that I don't have the attention span to sit through them. It's like, the older I get, the less I can sit and watch television. It's bizarre to me.
That is weird. I think I've kind of grown to, like, if I know a movie, I can rewatch it and it feels faster. But if there is, like, a new movie that I have to watch, I feel like sitting in a movie theater, you can actually, like, focus on it. Mm-hmm. Versus if you're at home, it's kind of like you can find things to distract yourself. Like, I'm trying to watch The Umbrella Academy right now, and I'm like, at times zoning in and out, and I'm like, oh wait, I think they said something important, I gotta rewind it. So, like, it's hard to watch something new or, like, something that you haven't seen in a while, because your attention span is, like, different nowadays. We're so used to, like, small clips and things like that.
Well, that's where it's funny, because I can binge watch a TV show, I guess because the storyline changes every 20 minutes. I could watch TV shows all day. But if I put a movie on, like, for whatever reason, unless it's one of my favorites that I'm just like, I want to watch this again, or something that really caught my eye, you know, on an ad. And let's be real, who watches ads in 2020? I fast forward right through them. But, like, yeah, movies, just for whatever reason, like, my wife will ask me to watch them, and somehow in the middle of it, it winds up being nap time. And I feel terrible. Like, I'm not trying to be that guy. It's just movies just don't do it anymore. Except Top Gun. For whatever reason, I could watch that movie over and over and over again.
Top Gun, that's like a plane one, right?
Yes.
I saw the trailer for this. It's
Tom Cruise and Anthony Edwards and Val Kilmer, and they were in Navy flight school. It was.
I wanted to see that. But I wanted to see it in, like, the theaters, because I saw the trailer in the theaters, and I was like, wow.
So that's the new one. The original one came out, like, 10 years before you were born. The original's from, like, 1986.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, then, why everyone was making such a big deal about it. I was like, what?
The original one, if you get a chance, it's only about an hour and 40 minutes. It is very, very good.
Okay.
That is one of the few I could sit through consistently. Now, another thing I know you absolutely enjoy doing is creating your own gear. Talk about that.
Yeah. So I always wanted to cosplay because I was such a huge comic book nerd. Again, I was poor, so I couldn't do it my whole life. I was like, I would constantly like watch people's vlogs of like going to conventions and like meeting like all the people who would like voice characters and all this like crazy stuff that happens at conventions, like all the merch that they would buy, and I was just like so sad. I was like, one day I'm gonna like go and buy everything I want. And when I had to start wrestling, I bought a sewing machine. I used the money that you get back from college when you have like leftover money. Mm-hmm. And so I like invested in a $99 sewing machine, which I still have. And so I bought some spandex and I was going to make a Starfire cosplay. And then I found out I had to have a match. So like my first match. So I was like, fuck, what do I do? So I made my first gear and it looked like Starfire. And it worked because I was doing like the alien gimmick at first. And so people found out I sewed that for myself and then they wanted gear. So I would make gear for some people. I made gear for my boyfriend, who I still make gear for to this day. But I found it complicated because a lot of times wrestlers are like, oh, I need new gear in like 3 weeks. And so it's not a lot of time to make gear when you think about I have to be the one to design it. So I'll design it. And then I have to have it approved by them. They have to then send me money. I then have to go, and I used to go to like a store to buy spandex. Now I order it and it comes in like 3 days. I have to get the resources and then I have to actually make the gear. So a week's already gone with the first steps. And then you only have 2 weeks to make someone's gear. And so I found that to be really like annoying. Like people wanted like gear, like fast fashion. And I'm one person. I was going to school at the time too. So now I just make gear for me, Ashley, and my boyfriend Rip. I made a few sets for Davey, but she's a diva. And so I was like, Davey, I can't make that. Like she'll come up with stuff. And I'm like, Davey, no, like I can't. So she gets her stuff from like other places. Layla wants me to make her gear, but she doesn't design anything. She's like, I want like a top and like shorts. And I'm like, Layla, what do you want?
Now, do you find that by creating gear, you come up with more creative energy in designing?
Yeah, the design part's fun. I just drew something out for Ashley and she really liked it. I don't know where it really comes from. I used to draw a lot when I was little, like just like figures, like if they were like anime characters. I wasn't really good, but like coming up with clothes, I was really good at like kind of designing. I tried to do a fashion course for like an art program after school, but I couldn't because I was already doing like the poetry section. I was already in the sculpting section and the drawing section. So like, it's only like open for 4 hours. You can only like do so many programs there. I really wanted to do like go to an art school, but my guidance counselor like refused to let me do that. Like I went to a college preparatory school. So unless you were like top 10, like in the arts, like division over there, like they did not, like they were like, no, you should do something where like you can get a career in. And I didn't even finish college. So like, she wasted my time. I could have been in art school.
Good old guidance counselors.
Yeah. Tearing me apart.
I think mine told my mom I shouldn't go to college. And here I am now as a high school teacher. So I guess the joke's on him. What are your goals for the rest of 2020? And are you looking ahead at all to 2021? Or are you just taking it a day at a time?
I think last time we talked, continuity purposes, I didn't really have any goals. We knew we were going to have like a show at Shimmer. We didn't understand like what it was going to be a part of. So now that me, Davey, Layla, and Ashley know like, oh, Shimmer's running. They asked Davey and Layla to join in. So we're all riding up together. And now we're just trying to, like, get as many shows on that weekend, because when are we going to wrestle in front of a crowd again? We're not really sure. And so that's going to be, like, our one big shot of, like, this whole year, probably. And we have tapings for Limitless coming up, which, again, we'll all be there. And so I think it's just going to try to be, like, stay in shape, stay ready. You never know when, like a bigger indie is going to call you in. So you don't want to, like, just, like, give up hope and, like, you know, like, give up on wrestling. So that's just kind of our, like, my goal is to stay in shape, stay ready. I'm going to be moving out soon. So me and my boyfriend Rip are going to be having, like, a wrestling room where we can train in, because we can't really go to wrestling schools since Mass has, like, a no contact law where you're not supposed to be practicing. So we're just going to set up mats so we can, like, at least roll around and, like, stay in somewhat of, like, conditioning level. And yeah, that's just going to be my goal, is, like, setting up, like, my new house where I'm going to be living and finish moving and probably make some more gear for, like, hopefully a TV debut in the future.
With Massachusetts, I know Davey was kind of telling me yesterday that it is super strict. How challenging is that, like, to go to Shimmer and know that when you come back, you know, if you, for argument's sake, if you fly, like, New York, they have you fill out a paper as soon as you land of where you've been. Like, does that concern you at all?
So we're driving to avoid that. We are going to drive, and that way, like, we won't have to deal with flying. If we flew, we would have had to fly Friday morning, and then the only flight that would have been available would be, like, Monday later on in the day. So Davey and Ashley would have missed out on work. So we're driving so that way they can, like, stay clocked in for, like, Monday and not waste, like, again, the whole wrestling thing of, like, oh, why do people only wrestle? Because of this. It's really hard to have a job and wrestle. hopefully we can avoid that. We are going to quarantine after. I'll be, like, moved into my new house, so I'm not going to be, like, touching anyone who can get sick. Thankfully, I don't live with anyone who's a higher risk. My mom's pretty young, and I just live with Ashley, so.
How amusing are those car rides? Because I can't imagine the four of you in a car for, like, 12 hours. That's got to be crazy.
It's horrible. So the first time we rode down was Texas. And we rode down, it was me, Davey, Layla, Ashley, and Rip, my boyfriend. And he kind of took over the first drive because he likes to, you know, zone us out and ignore us. And we were just, like, so obnoxious. We started, like, vlogging. Like, we were doing room tours because we had our own little holes in the car where we set up all our stuff. We overpack all the time. We were only going to be there for 3 days, and we, like, packed enough for a week. And so the car was, like, jam-packed. Layla spilled chips twice. Ashley brought a whole tub of protein. I don't know why. That exploded. So the car rental, like, smelled like whey protein. And Rip had to clean it out because it was under his name. So he had to vacuum it. Yeah, he hates us. He loves us, but he hates us.
That's got to be some of the most fun parts of your chosen career, is the opportunity to create those stories and memories with friends.
Yeah, to travel. The travel's actually what I miss. I kind of miss the travel. Not flying in a plane, but the setup to do everything.
Well, that's because you're very anti-plane. Why are you anti-plane?
I think my last experience that I flew back home from Japan, my plane got canceled twice, so that freaked me out. And then I had a day layover. Like, I had a 24-hour layover in Turkey.
I was like, do I correct her or leave it? I'm going to correct her. Correct. I think it's the right thing to do.
Okay. I had a day layover in Istanbul. And I don't know, like, the laws there. So I had to stay in the airport. And there was protests going on. So that horrified me because I didn't know what the protests were. When I had to get to my gate, there was, like, security with, like, guns, and they were, like, blocking off these, like, group of people in a circle. And the gate number above was, like, above this elevator. And there was, like, guards with guns, like, in front of the elevator. And I was like, that's literally, like, I have to get through them to get to my gate. Like, what? And so I walked up to them. I have a fear of guns. So I walk up to them and I'm like, I show them my gate ticket and like my passport. And they're like, oh yeah, right here. And I'm like, okay, well, you're like scary. So why would I think I could go through here? And then as soon as we go down, there's more guards out of the elevator. And they're like, why are you here? And I'm like, So I show them my plane ticket and they're like, okay. So I think I have PTSD now. I don't think I ever want to leave the country.
I could see where that would be. Definitely a little bit scarring.
Turkey's
one of those places that would be tough like that.
See, I didn't know that.
So, I mean, that's me being a history teacher. And like, Istanbul has got to be one of the most beautiful cities in the world, to be honest. I mean, it was the center of the eastern half of the Roman Empire. Like, so they have a ton of history and cool stuff, but they are always in political turmoil. So it is never a good situation. And yeah, definitely not knowing the laws there, you don't want to take chances.
Yeah, I was so tired. I think I stayed up most of that time that I was in the airport. I think I took like 30-minute naps every now and then. But because I had all my bags with me, I was just like not taking any chances.
Yeah. I used to coach college football and worked with USA football. So I had the opportunity to go fly over to Germany and run a football camp out there. And when
That's crazy.
It was awesome. It was for the Department of Defense too. So it was half of the camp was kids that are US citizens that their parents are deployed in Germany. So that was absolutely the coolest experience of my life. I love flying, but I hate flying. Like, I feel super important when I'm getting on a plane, but the act of flying, like, I could take it or leave it. But when I flew, because I was working for the DOD, they gave me, like, official Department of Defense papers. And the guy's like, wherever you go, show them your papers. And I'm like, that's so not me. Like, I don't want to be that guy. So I go into the airport at Newark, and I show them the papers, and the lady's like, can I check an extra bag for you? Can I do? And I'm like, the hell is with these papers? Like, I don't understand. Then I get to, I have a layover in France, and they start rummaging through my bag, and the lady in line behind me goes, don't you have those papers? Show them. I guess she must have been behind me when I showed them in Newark. And the French lady was so rude and was like, what papers? And I go, these? And I've never seen someone close a suitcase so quickly. I'm like, these things are magic. It was ridiculous. Like, the rest of the time, I'm like, yeah, no problem. Here, this is who I am. And they were just like, oh, I'm this way.
You were a name.
I was like, I'm important for 10 minutes. So if I ever fly like that, I would have absolutely no fear. But I haven't flown since then because nothing will ever match it.
Yeah. Why would you ever second class yourself?
Yeah, no. Although international flights are always interesting based on who they put next to you on the plane. Like, I was convinced the person that was flying back with next to me in Germany was not on the up and up because he kept asking me questions and I'm like, no, sir. Nope. Can't answer that, sir. I'm like, I'm like, get me off this plane, please.
Oh, so creepy. I was by myself the plane to get to Japan, and then the second flight that I had, I was with like a couple. So they were like kind of like nice to me and just like easygoing. And then on the way back, because COVID, they like separated us. So I had my aisle by myself.
Nice. So you decided to come back versus from COVID as opposed to Masha, who decided to stay in Japan for like 9 months.
Well, she never had her flight home. Like, she was going to buy it later on. She only bought her flight there. I got both my flights.
Got it.
Like, I just got, like, the deal where, like, you buy both your flights already.
I think she did that on purpose. I talked to her last week again, and I'm convinced if she could stay there forever, she would.
Yeah, probably.
I really appreciate you taking time talking to me today. Why don't you get out all your social media and everything?
Yeah, thank you so much for hitting me up again. I'm surprised you wanted to talk to me again after we like had that whole debacle.
It wasn't a debacle. I thought it was hilarious.
It was hilarious, but we're like, he's never going to talk to us again.
Oh, you guys were awesome.
Well, thank you. So my Twitter and Instagram are the same, at DelmiExo, and then Pro Wrestling Tees, and I'm sure you just search DelmiExo, and my shirts pop up, and some Team C-Star shirts pop up too. And then TikTok, of course, at Team C-Stars.
Awesome, and you can follow us at DDT Archives on both Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me at Chris_DDTHSLB. And we're going to keep bringing you awesome interviews with awesome performers. So make sure you continue to listen. Thank you, everybody.